Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman. Unsportsmanlike.
A complisalt is a compliment and an insult.
I've never heard that term, but it's brilliant.
Oh, I get complisalted all the time. Yeah. Wow, Michelle, you're gorgeous. Your hair today is ugly. Complisalt.
No, that's a compliment.
No. If someone said, wow, you're thin, but you look fat today, that's a complisalt.
Compliment for me.
No, because if you're giving me a complisalt, you mean the insult more than the compliment.
Smalls is funny. Smalls literally hears herself give a great take. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Michelle Smallman, per reports, agreeing with Michelle Smallman.
Couldn't agree more, Michelle. Great work.
She went third person. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, so you thought the storyline from last night, which is this blowout victory, right? Minnesota 106-80 over Denver. They're up 2-0 in this series. No Rudy Gobert. Missed the game for the birth of his child. If they lost, CC has already admitted he would have destroyed Rudy Gobert for missing the game for the birth of a kid.
Yeah. But he knew Ant had it. He was like, "That's good."
Yeah, I have to question his commitment to winning.
Oh, boy. Here he goes. Trying to blow right by
you
that.
You got to question his commitment to winning, man. I mean, listen. People have babies every day, B. Listen, there's only a few things that you can do in life once, and it defines you for the rest of your life.
What
and
are
winning,
those things?
Winning a championship is one of them.
Anything else?
Well, I don't. There are some other things. Uh-huh. It's a family-friendly show, so I can't share them.
Okay, so that's the one you want to go with.
Well, that's the one that I feel comfortable saying and knowing that I would probably keep my job.
Okay.
The other ones, not so much. But if you do them once, you will be forever and always defined and maybe called by those things.
Like
you win a title, you're going to forever be called a champion. You do a couple of other things, you are going to forever be called those things.
Wait a second. Now I got to ask
that
you.
Is life. Like, well, think about it. When you're walking around, just because you have kids, nobody's going to say, hey, father, how you doing? I mean, unless you're a priest.
I'm not.
I mean, exactly. So, I mean, I guess a priest couldn't be a father. But you know what I mean? Like, there are a few things that you could do once. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be called that thing.
So what would
we
your
do
commercial
call you a champion?
So resident champion. Super Bowl champ.
That's what I was going to ask.
That's my point.
You do what promos, internal commercials, right? The commercials for our show.
Yes.
When you voice these commercials, you go with the, hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champion, Chris Canty. And then you say, you know, coming up Wednesday and you tease about the show. What would you say if the Giants lost to the Patriots? What would you be? The resident what exactly?
I don't know. That's
you don't have it.
Ain't we glad we never have
the
to
resident
worry about
football
finding
player?
Out?
Hold on,
he's not the resident football player. I'm also a football player.
Can Evan be
the jersey is right there?
That's
by
right.
The way.
Yes. If you're the resident Super Bowl champion, can Evan be the resident father? The resident father on the show.
The resident
hey,
father.
This is your resident father, Evan Cohen. Coming up Wednesday, we'll have our ESPN personality draft. Who at ESPN would you want to roast? Up Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern, here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Okay, he's going to bless us with those sports takes and corny comebacks.
I just have to tell you, it's nice that you have the option to choose whether you would like to be there for the birth of your child or a championship. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't have that option.
Good luck coming back on that one.
There is no comeback. All I'm simply saying is, if you're Rudy Gobert, like you're trying to win a title. Mm-hmm. I understand you want to be there for your birth of your child, but you're trying to win a chip.
They won.
You're winning the title.
Kid.
But exactly. I'm saying if they would have lost,
right?
They won, so there's no harm, no foul. But if they would have lost, I'm just saying that would be my logic behind it. The championship helps the kid. The championship helps the wife or baby mama. Or it's a piece of whoever it is. It helps the woman giving birth to the child too. Just saying, the championship helps everybody. It's a championship.
The only harm is your foul take. I gotta be honest.
High tide raises all boats. Just saying.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN.com, wrote a story about last night's Nuggets-T-Wolves game because something happened in this game. I'm going to read you from ESPN.com. Nuggets guard Jamal Murray should have been called for a technical foul but not ejected for throwing a heating pad on the floor during Denver's 106-80 Game 2 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Crew chief Mark Davis said after Monday's contest. With Murray on the bench and Karl Anthony Towns receiving a pass from Kyle Anderson to put Minnesota up 49-30 with 4:41 remaining in the second quarter, the Nuggets point guard tossed the pad on the floor while live game action ensued. On Get Up this morning with Greeny, of course, Tim Legler, Jay Williams had this conversation about what should happen now with Jamal Murray.
Me personally, I feel like he should be suspended for a game. That was an inch away from Karl Anthony Towns planting his right foot right on that thing. That could have hurt him. He could have been out of the game. I understand it's not precedent, but I think that was such an immature move by Jamal Murray, and that could have been a really hurtful, nasty thing to happen to Karl.
I'll be shocked if he's not, truthfully, because the two things can happen there. One, there's a lip on those things about that big. Easily, somebody could step on that, roll their ankle, sprain an ankle. The other thing that could happen is you could step directly on top of it and have that thing slide out. Now you're talking about a groin injury potentially.
Look at that right here. Look at the right foot. Look right there.
Right in the middle of the paint. So I don't know how the league wouldn't suspend a player for throwing an object, like any object, onto the court in the middle of the lane when there's five guys in actively this playing.
You know, when I first saw this and heard about this, I did not think anything of suspension. Technical foul is one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have fair points. None of it actually happened.
I guess that's the point, though. How can we divorce the consequences from the actual outcome? I don't think he can in this situation. Yeah, he could have been hurt, but he wasn't. So you punish him. You do have to levy some type of discipline on Jamal Murray, but I think it rises to the level of a hefty fine and not so much to a suspension. Hell, they ain't got to suspend him. He's already been taken out of the game by the Minnesota Timberwolves defense led by Ant-Man. Like you don't have to suspend him. You don't have to. He's already been taken out of the game. He's been taken out of the series. We've got two games, and Jamal Murray is a non-freaking factor. Like, that's what it is. And so, maybe Jamal Murray meant to throw the towel in instead of throwing a heating pack. Maybe he was trying to signal that it's over for the Timberwolves.
I don't know.
They ain't got no shot. Wow. No, I know he threw the heat pack. I know what he was doing. But, I mean, he might as well throw the towel in. It's over. The Nuggets have no answer.
Well, definitely be over if he gets suspended. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, he's basically been suspended by the defense of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got that dude in the kitty timeout.
3 of 18 last night.
3 of 18. That's being held for 0-for. He had no points in the first half of game one.
Is that why he acted like an immature child and throwing the heating pad? Because he's been in timeout all game?
He's been in kitty timeout. Yeah, he's been sitting at the kitty table. Yeah, that's essentially what's happening. Like, I get what they're saying. I do feel like it's a little bit of an overreaction. It's a little bit hyperbolic. Again, I don't think we can divorce the punishment of the discipline from the outcome of the play. Karl Anthony Towns could have been hurt. He could have turned an ankle. He could have sprained a groin. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it was something that should never happen, and I'm pretty sure Michael Malone and the people in the Denver Nuggets organization are letting him know about that today. He's got plenty of time to hear about it and think about it because they don't play again until Friday. I think this is a situation where the league levies a hefty fine, but they're not going to take him off of the court knowing that this is a must-win game for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I'm sure those conversations are being had, and I can understand why the NBA would consider taking him off the court, consider a suspension, because the outcome could have been different. And they, of course, want to set that precedent that no players should be throwing things onto the court ever while a game is happening, period. And the NBA does that. They like to set a precedent. They like to make sure that there's not gray area when it comes
to
things.
You want it to be a deterrent.
You want it to be a deterrent, absolutely. But I do think because this is the playoffs and because the stakes are so high and because there was not, thankfully, an injury or any negative circumstances that came, from the action, that they probably won't do that. They probably won't take him out of the game, even though I'm sure it's a conversation that's being had.
So here's the weird part about this is, like, if there was some sort of incident on the court and Jamal Murray from the bench walked onto the court, he'd be suspended for the next game. But he put a heating pad there instead of himself, right? And so does that mean that you're not suspended? Does that mean you are suspended? Like, they have very strict rules on actually crossing the line when there's an incident on the court. There was no incident here, right? But if there's any kind of scuffle on a court, if a player leaves the bench and enters into the court, they suspend that player immediately.
Yeah, if the fan throws something on the court, their ass is out of the arena immediately.
Mm-hmm. Now, they have not done anything yet, and I know there's no more games for him, to Pat Bev, who did throw something at a fan in for the Milwaukee Bucks. They usually do, they could announce that now, even for next year, but they haven't actually announced that yet. So in some ways, they'd be ruling on something today that, you know, after they didn't rule on something previously. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Pat Bev didn't throw anything on the court, though.
But he threw something at a fan. There has to be some sort of discipline.
I think the playing surface has to be treated differently, though, right? You have to have a heightened level of security because of the participants, the competitors. You got to make sure that you protect them because they are the product.
Yeah, but you also have to protect the fan who's the consumer.
Yeah, you definitely do. You do. Regardless of what happened leading up to that. It may be wrong, but I mean, you have to do that. And this thing, I'm starting to think, I wonder if they do suspend him. I hope they don't, but I do understand the idea of, like, wait a minute, we cannot have people throwing things onto the court thinking it's okay in any way, shape, or form out of frustration, out of anger. We are going to suspend this guy for one game. He put himself in a position where there's now a gray area. I think we can all agree on that. Like, he put himself in a position where the NBA is going to today. They're not looking at anything other than the referee calls, I guess, from the Knicks and the Pacers game in terms of suspension. They have to look at this today.
Does a hefty fine, like a really hefty fine, do it enough for you guys instead of suspending him for a playoff game?
Yeah.
Yes, it does
for me, for sure.
He's not going to care about that like he would being suspended from a playoff game, though.
But also, there wasn't an injury that happened, and they also have to think about the product. And Jamal Murray being available and being out there and being able to play is a better competitive product for us to consume. And I'm sure they're considering that as well.
Is it?
Well, you would think so. You would think.
I mean, the idea of divorcing the punishment from the outcome is just ridiculous to me, right? Like, we don't do that in real life. Like, if you're speeding down the highway and you get a speeding ticket, that's different than if you're speeding down the highway and you hit somebody and you cause an accident that creates bodily harm to somebody else. There are different punishments for those actions, and there should be, because you don't divorce the punishment from the outcome. So I understand wanting to send a strong message. I understand wanting to establish a precedent and making sure that the discipline is a deterrent. But I just don't believe in taking a guy off the court for a playoff game, especially one as consequential as Game 3 is going to be for Friday night. I just don't see that.
So quickly, CeCe, God forbid someone steps on that heating pad that he throws on the court. That person twists an ankle, your response is different today.
Yes.
That he should be suspended because he actually caused bodily harm. Not that he could have, but that he actually did.
Yeah, I mean, if I had my way about it, I would suspend that guy as long as that other player was out due to injury.
So
I know they don't do that, but that's what I would do.
What's the ruling on a thrown but not connected punch in the NBA?
It's an automatic suspension.
You're not actually playing the results in that spot.
Yeah, but I mean, think about where that comes from, though. Throwing punches, that comes from the 90s Knicks and Heat, and it also comes from Malice in the Palace, which is the third rail as far as the NBA is concerned.
Absolutely.
Fighting but amongst players fighting fans, throwing punches, like that is something that they absolutely will not tolerate because that is one of the darkest pages in NBA history. Mm-hmm.
So around the room, yes or no, will Jamal Murray be suspended? Smalls?
No, I think he'll be fined.
No.
CeCe, I say no as well. Coming up, Kant Diaz's power rankings, top five players you'll want to start your NBA team with. Next, unsportsmanlike, with the resident Super Bowl champ, the resident father, and the resident Cardinals fan, Midwest Michelle, nice person.
I'm just Michelle. I'm not a resident anything.
We're unsportsmanlike.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Yes, it is Tuesday on Unsportsmanlike, so you all know we like to rank stuff. Before we get to my power rankings of the top five players you want to start an NBA team with, she is the lovely Michelle Smallman. He is the lovely hooded Evan Cohen. And I am the resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Canty. And this is the Canty Power Rankings. Again, top five players that you want to start an NBA team with. Now, this was triggered by the conversation on Get Up and First Take of players you want to start an NBA team with. Yesterday, a lot of people said Victor Wembanyama. He's on the list, but he ain't number one. So you got to stay locked right now because I'm going to give him to you in order 5-2-1. So, Javonte, if you would, without further ado.
Number five.
Okay, it's Jason Tatum. Boston Celtics, best record in the NBA, 64-18 in the regular season. Just phenomenal what he's been able to do. 27-8-5. Pretty good season for Jason Tatum, shooting 47% from the field. This is a guy that is 26 years old, and I would still deem him as an ascending player, even though it feels like he's been around forever. It's an old 26. But this is a player that has been to the conference finals or better in, what, 5 out of the 7 seasons that he's played in? And so I think that this is a situation now where he's presented with his best opportunity to get to the NBA finals to date. I mean, I get it. He played against the Warriors back in 2020, but I think that this is his easiest path considering when the Eastern Conference is. No Dame, no Giannis. No Jimmy Butler in that series against the Heat. You're not going to have to deal with the reigning defending MVP in Joel Embiid. I mean, it is a clear path for the Boston Celtics to waltz through the Eastern Conference and get to the NBA Finals. If they don't, this season is a massive, massive failure. There is only one thing that Jason Tatum can do to add to the resume, and that is the hardware. This guy's a 5-time All-Star, probably going to be named to his 4th All-NBA team. He needs the hardware to go along with the individual accolades and the resume. Next.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Giannis Antetokounmpo, 2-time MVP, world champion. The shine has kind of come off of Giannis this year based on how things have played out in Milwaukee, and it should, right? You're talking about being on three different head coaches over a 6-month span. Something about that stinks. Now, this is a player that's applied pressure to the franchise to do right by him, to take advantage of being in the heart of his prime. He didn't sign a long-term extension because he wanted the commitment from the organization in terms of finding an upgrade at the head coach. He wanted the commitment in terms of getting another dynamic player to be his running mate. The organization tried to do both. They got rid of Coach Bud, a coach that won him a championship. They thought they upgraded Adrian Griffin, fired him after 43 games into his tenure. They went out and made the big swing and traded a lot of assets in order to bring over Damian Lillard. That, to date, has not worked out. And so there's a lot of show and prove for Giannis moving forward, but I still think that he's one of those guys that you would want to build a team around. Again, Giannis isn't even 30 years old yet. He's not 30. Let that sink in. Guy's got 2 MVPs and a championship, not even 30 years old. Next.
Number 3.
Speaking of guys that are under 30, Nikola Jokic. I mean, this is a guy
that's under 30?
He's under 30. He's 29 years old. He's 29 years old.
I don't know why I just now had this realization, but I did. He's under 30.
Like he's 45.
He's the dad by God. Of course, he looks like God. That. But think about this. Nikola Jokic is about to win his 3rd MVP in 4 seasons and already has a championship. It might be the best ball-handling big man that we've ever seen in the NBA. And he's under 30 years old. This guy ain't going away. He's going to be around competing for championships. I know this is the Ant-Man era of the NBA that we're being ushered into this postseason, but Nikola Jokic is going to have something to say about how the West is going to be won moving forward. And that's just how good he is. I mean, he is a human cheat code in terms of making the right basketball plays seemingly on every single possession. Now, It's going to take Nikola Jokic, Gru, and all the minions to try to climb out of this 0-2 hole that they've got with the Minnesota Timberwolves. But don't let this series against the T-Wolves be an indictment on the greatness that is Nikola Jokic. He's still one of the three best players that I would want to build my franchise around. Next.
Number two.
Victor Wembanyama. I mean, listen, I don't know how it was possible for him to exceed the hype in his rookie season, but he did it. He did it. This is a guy that averaged 21-10-4 to go along with 3.5 blocks per game, which led the league. And he did it in less than 30 minutes on the floor every night. He averaged less than 30 minutes of game action every single night. Now, the question that I have with Wemby is his frame and durability. He's 7'4", and he's only 210 pounds. Now, that being said, he played in 71 out of a possible 82 games. So it's not based on anything we've seen from him. It's more so based on track record of guys that are that stature and not being able to stay healthy long term. But Victor Wembanyama is one of the best, if not the best, defensive player in the league. And you're talking about this dude being a rookie. That's how good he is. And you saw it down the stretch. He was giving teams that are going to be playoff squads all kinds of hell. And I don't see that going away anytime soon. Like, Wemby is coming. Wemby is absolutely coming. I would be shocked if the San Antonio Spurs weren't in playoff contention next year.
I totally agree. I think they're going to be a destination for guys wanting to go play with him. So we have Tatum, Giannis, Jokic, and Wemby as 5-2 on the top five NBA players that you'd want to start a team with, which means Smalls. We have guys like Luka, SGA, Paolo, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson, D'Angelo Russell, all available for CC to put at number one. Will D'Lo be one? Let's find out now.
I'll make D'Lo one if D'Lo opts into his $18 million player option.
Just so you can trade him.
Just so I can get rid of his ass.
People think that was actually a compliment. That was a...
Compliment sold.
That it is.
Nicely done. Well played, Evan Cohen. The lovely hooded Evan Cohen. All right, but there can only be one number one, right?
Right.
One number one, and that is Ant-Man. This is the Ant-Man era of things. Listen, he went into Denver and got greedy. Not only did he steal home court advantage in game one and dropping 43 points in the process, but he came back in game two, no Rudy Gobert, who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year, and he took game two in decisive fashion. They won by 26 points. This wasn't even a game midway through the second quarter. They led 61-35 at halftime. I mean, Ant-Man came into Jokic and Murray's house, put his feet up on the table, sitting on the couch, went in the fridge, made himself a sandwich, snatched the remote from him, turned the TV to the channel he wanted to watch. Like this, he is awfully comfortable for a guy that is seemingly just arriving when it comes to the biggest stage that the game has to offer. But I think that's reflective of the greatness that we've seen in Ant-Man. And Ev, the thing that separates him, it's not his skill level, it's not his athleticism, it's his attitude.
This always is. This is a it's dude, always the griminess, this is, I'm telling you.
I'm serious. This is a dude that went on SPP and says he wants to kill everything in front of him. This is a dude, when asked about KCP in this series, he said, yeah, that's my big bro, and I love him, but I want to rip his head off. This is a dude that said, when expecting the team's best punch when they go back to Minnesota in game three, he said, Chris Finch is going to break it down, and he says, yeah, we're going to get the team's best punch, but Ant Edwards says, they ain't going to be the only MFers throwing punches. We going to throw our punches too. That's what he said. That's the attitude that he's approaching it with. And I love that. I'm not calling this dude Michael Jordan, but he's the closest thing to MJ this side of Kobe Bryant. And for those that are late to the party, we've been saying this for months now, and I'm glad that the rest of the NBA world is finally starting to catch up. So that's the list.
That's a great list. But quick on Ant, it's very rare that you can have that mentality and that confidence and back it up. And not only back it up, do it on the biggest stage against the toughest competition. And he's done it.
No doubt.
Question then on that. Do you have that and then you're great, or you're great and then you have that? When you're an elite athlete,
I think you
not
have
like
to have that.
Awesome.
It's part of the greatness.
You have that, and that elevates you to greatness.
Yes, agreed.
Because you find a way to constantly put that chip on your shoulder and drive yourself to those lengths in order to accomplish what we're seeing and accomplish. I mean, these are the reigning defending champs, and they're making this look like a scrimmage in training camp.
He's unrelenting in his pursuit for greatness.
No doubt.
And I think that that's what we saw with Michael Jordan. He was unrelenting. He never let up. And that's what it feels like with Anthony Edwards.
So, Smalls, that's the list. We got Ant Edwards, number one. Victor Wembanyama, number two. Nikola Jokic, three. Giannis Antetokounmpo, four. Jason Tatum, number five. Any objections, any omissions?
I love the list. I might have put Tatum and Jokic a little higher because, and Giannis for that matter, because they have more of a body of work. But I know Knicks fans are probably listening and upset you excluded Jalen Brunson, a guy who has certainly been dominant in this postseason and is only 27 years old. Where's he? Was he in consideration?
No.
Okay.
No.
Luka?
No. Who are you taking off the list?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who are you taking off the list? If Luka's on the list, who goes off the list?
Is it Giannis?
We'll find out coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Teasing. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We do have two games tonight. Of course, all the coverage here on ESPN Radio. Cavs and Celtics get underway this evening. And Brian Windhorst joined us earlier in our show. You can go back on the ESPN app or wherever podcasts are found and listen to our show. And he was asked about whether or not there's any hope for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavs' performance in the first round was not encouraging. They had a terrific step for their franchise, having won for the first time in a playoff series without LeBron since 1993. That's huge for them. That's been a six-year journey to get there, and that should be acknowledged. And Donovan Mitchell did it with superstar play. That's what they traded for. Their process was a mess. Their plan, their game plan, their execution, their star players' deliverance, their lineups, not encouraging. So they do not hit this series with a lot of momentum, in my view.
You know what's amazing? If you look at this postseason right now, there are multiple coaches that are on the hot seat while in the postseason, and I actually don't think it's unwarranted.
So JB Bickerstaff with the Cavs?
He's done.
Joe Mazzulla?
I think if they don't get to the finals, he's probably done. Right? I mean, that's to be this late into a season and have two coaches that we are looking at and saying it's more likely than not if they don't. Well, I think JB Bickerstaff, barring going to the finals, may be fired no matter what. I think that's what Wendy was telling us earlier in our show. If Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics don't get to the finals, he's done. Right? Would you agree?
It's a massive disappointment, and usually when that happens, someone has to be held accountable.
Yeah, if he doesn't get to the finals, he's done. I mean, think about it. He was on thin ice last year when they got smoked by the Miami Heat. Even though it was a seven-game series, they were down 0-3 in that series to start out with. So, I mean, it was a fait accompli that Miami was going to the NBA Finals, and it should not have been because Miami was a play-in team, and the Celtics were, what, a top two seed in the East?
Yeah, and
so
it's just abnormal, I think, in any sport to be this deep into a postseason and have coaches that we know are going to be out. Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL. We don't look at it like, I mean, we speculate about it.
I don't know. We talked about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy.
Talked about it. Didn't happen.
Did not. But people were surprised. Talked
about Sean McDermott. Didn't happen.
We talked about Nick Sirianni. Didn't happen.
Marty Schottenheimer happened once upon a time. He went 14-2 and got clipped.
For the San Diego Chargers, which is, I actually think they're still paying for that. That's crazy.
They're still paying for
it? Well, they got Harbaugh.
They got Harbaugh, but I mean, if you think about how many disappointments they've had, it's like that was what bit them over the course of time. You have a guy that's 14-2, and you get rid of him. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers actually have a shot in this game and this series.
Here's the thing. Wendy said they're going into the series with no momentum. Houseway, like, I'm just looking at the Cavs and looking at what Donovan Mitchell did. 89 points over the last two games. Like, it's a franchise record, and that franchise once upon a time had LeBron James. If it's a star-driven league, which it is, and the star player, Donovan Mitchell, is playing like that, a 50-burger in Game 6, albeit a loss, and then 39 points in Game 7 at home, how is there no momentum? I just don't understand it. Now, Jaylen Brown, rightfully so, said their attention will be front and center on Donovan Mitchell because he's a three-level scorer. He's a dynamic player, and it's going to take everybody on the court to stop him. It's not just a one-man job. But I just don't get how we're dismissing the fact that the Cavs could be more competitive than the odds would suggest, especially with the Boston Celtics being shorthanded with no Kristaps Porzingis.
One of the coaches that will not get fired is in Dallas. We know Jason Kidd got a contract extension. You said specifically that you do not think that Luka Doncic is on that list of top five players that you would start a franchise with, that you laughed at the notion of him on that list.
Who am I taking off the list?
Okay, so your list was Ant-Man, Wemby, Jokic, Giannis, and Tatum. Mm-hmm. I think the obvious answer in this would be Tatum. And
Tatum's been to an NBA Finals. Luka hasn't.
Yeah, and I'm just pointing out that would be the answer. Some could say that Giannis' best years were behind him. I don't see evidence of that at all. Jokic, you would say, in terms of building a franchise, how long is he going to want to play? We pointed out 29 years old. The first two, I don't think, I literally don't think you can argue against the first two. If you're starting a franchise from scratch, Ant and Wemby have to be on that list. Wemby was as hyped of a prospect as since LeBron,
right,
and actually outperformed expectations without many people, including us, talking about him enough, right? That's how great he was. His team stunk. But I think that there are many.
He's amazing, though, isn't he?
He's ridiculous.
He's so, so gifted.
I think that the 4 and 5 on your list, Giannis and Tatum, would be the ones that you would look at and say, you know what? Luka, maybe you would take over them. Those would be the ones.
Over a guy who's been to the finals and a guy who's won the championship?
Tatum, the argument would be, has Tatum played on better teams than Luka's ever played on and done less with those teams? That's the argument against Tatum, right? Tatum's been on really good teams. If you look at the amount of guys that he's played with over the course, really since he got in the league from the early days, obviously with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford on those teams. Obviously, Horford leaves, comes back. And then you have Marcus Smart and Robert Williams, who are on the teams as the complimentary pieces. Then you go out and get Drew Holiday and Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis. That's a lot of talent and different kinds of talent than we would look at with Kevin Durant. Like, just as a comparison, where Kevin Durant's playing with Hall of Fame talent that don't know how to play roles. He has been surrounded by elite level players that are elite in their roles, not necessarily Hall of Famers. Like, Drew Holiday's not going to necessarily be a Hall of Famer. Derek White, not going to be a Hall of Famer. Those are elite guys in their roles. And the argument would be, Jaylen Brown probably will be, the argument will be, Tatum hasn't done enough with those guys. And he's had more opportunities, so maybe you'd rather build with Luka moving forward. I'm just stating an argument against. I think a lot of people would put Luka in their top five of players you'd build around.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would, but look at how much of a liability Luka has been on the defensive end. Now, what I will give him credit is that he's tried to make more of an effort on that side of the court. But, I mean, in terms of having his overall game translate to his team having success when the games matter the most, it hasn't happened. Not nearly as consistently as the numbers would suggest. Think about it. The 1 year where they went on the deep playoff run to the conference finals, who was the number two on that team? It was Jalen Brunson. And I think we're starting to look at that retroactively and give Brunson more credit for it. And not to say that that takes away from Luka's greatness, but it shows that Luka wasn't alone when his team was able to do that. And since Jalen Brunson left, they've had a hell of a time trying to replace him, mm-hmm. right? They tried with Kristaps Porzingis. That didn't work. They're trying now with Kyrie Irving. We'll see how that turns out. But, I mean, like, I just – like, at some point, we have to stop looking at all of the other pieces around Luka and start looking at Luka. Like, think about it. They've had the churn with head coaches, too. Like, it's just like, at some point, it can't be the others. It has to be something about what you're doing. I don't have that concern with Jason Tatum just because I've seen them get to the conference championship rounds or better seemingly every year since he's been there.
But would your opinion about Tatum change if he doesn't win it this year? Would you consider taking him off the list if, after the dominant regular season they've had and seemingly a clearer path to the NBA Finals this postseason.
If he doesn't win it this year.
Because I don't think we put those same expectations on Luka that we do on Jason Tatum specifically.
No, Jason Tatum has to get to the finals. Luka has to get to the conference finals.
No, Jason Tatum has to win the finals.
In this specific argument, I think he has to get to the finals. I think if you're doing a Luka versus Tatum, if it's worse, if Luka doesn't win this round, and Oklahoma City's the one seed, they're really good, but like this is a round, you won round.
But why are we, I guess my whole point is, why are we moving it for Luka relative to Tatum when Luka's already been to the conference finals? Like, it should be about Luka getting to the NBA finals, too.
Well, I think both of their seasons starts with where they've been previously, right? So anything less than where you've been previously is a failure for both parties here, right? Sure. Tatum's evaluation, let's say, and by the way, this evaluation is a massive compliment to both of these guys. We're talking about their greatness and how we would rank their greatness. So Tatum's season begins and evaluation begins in the finals because he's been there before, and Luka's would begin in the conference finals because he's been there before. So if either of them don't get to that round, that's where they theoretically get taken
off
the list.
Yeah, but in terms of Luka being able to get onto the list and overtake Jason Tatum for that fifth spot, it's got to be more than just the conference finals for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you got to take care of your business against OKC, the number one seed in the West, and you've got to take care of your business of the winner of Denver, Minnesota, presumably Minnesota. If you do that, then that would be showing me something that I haven't seen before from you.
The other person that could infiltrate this list, if he makes a run here, I would think is SGA, because if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder beat the Mavericks and then somehow, some way, beat the Timberwolves, then everything changes.
And SGA is young, too. SGA is, what, 25?
And SGA had numerically a better regular season even than Ant-Man did.
Yeah.
And a better record overall. And then if you were to get to the finals by beating him, this list is a fluid list in my mind.
But here's the thing about the stats, though, and I know people go to the numbers. I think we become a slave of these numbers. Stats is important. They keep record of them for a reason. But stats isn't everything. Like, there's something to be said for the eye test. There's also something to be said for your competitive greatness being at your best when your best is required. Ant-Man in the postseason, he's had four games where he's averaged north of 35 points on better than 50% shooting. There have only been five other players in the history of the NBA to do that. A couple of the names on the list, LeBron James, Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he was with the Milwaukee Bucks, and Kobe Bryant. Like, it's pretty damn good company to be keeping if you're Ant-Man. And, oh, by the way, I'm doing some of this against the reigning defending world champions with a guy that's poised to win the MVP in Nikola Jokic.
Well, the NBA is certainly a hot ticket right now, as is the NHL in the postseason. And, of course, you can get all of your tickets, CC, by way of Vivid Seats.
Oh, yes. And don't forget about the NFL schedule release, which is supposed to happen this week. So here at Unsportsmanlike, we're amped up for that, of course. And lucky for you, our teammates at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner at ESPN, has great deals on great seats with a huge selection of tickets of this year's biggest matchups. Experience every tackle, every touchdown, every eye-popping play of your favorite team live and in person. It's better in person, I'm telling you guys. For the best selection of the 2024 tickets, shop now. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so our play of the night paid off last night in a big way. We went New York Knicks on the money line in game one against the Pacers, and we took Josh Hart over 11.5 boards. Hart had 13 boards to go along with 24 points. Dude is an absolute monster. Josh Hart is just a baller. He makes winning plays. So we've won two play of the nights in a row. Can we make it three? Can we call this officially a win streak? We will see. We're going to go back to the playoffs. We're going to go with Rob Lorenzo's Cleveland Cavaliers. I know he is a glass case of emotion because of what Brian Windhorst said and his team having absolutely no shot in this series against the Boston Celtics. But we're going to buck that anyway. We're going to take the Cavs plus 12.5 because that's what the line is. And we're going to go with Drew Holiday over 3.5 rebounds. Drew Holiday, sneaky big rebounder. No Jared Allen. Drew Holiday on the boards. Watch that. So two-leg parlay, Cavs plus 12.5. Drew Holiday over 3.5 rebounds pays out at plus 144.
You know, Rob, our social and digital guy, who is a huge Cavs fan from the Cleveland area, when you just said that, neither smiled nor frowned. He was stone-faced when that happened.
He's locked in.
Well, he's worried that I'm going to give his team the kiss of death, similar to what I've done with Nuno's Knicks. But I took Nuno's Knicks last night on the money line, and the Knicks actually won.
Yeah,
you were right.
It took some convincing from the refs. Well, you know, wink, wink. But I'm just saying. Okay.
Win's a win. Win's a win. Let's go.
Yeah, win's a win.
Win's a win.
And it was, to be fair, it was a great win for the Knicks because, officials or not, the Pacers had multiple leads throughout this game that felt like, oh, wow, they're going to pull away, and they never did to the Knicks' credit. So that was a great win by the Knicks.
Yeah, if Rick Carlisle keeps T.J. McConnell in that game, they probably win instead of going to Tyrese Haliburton.
Wow.
Very tricky spot when McConnell's playing as well as he's playing to then take him out. But at the same time, you have to put back in Tyrese Haliburton. He is your franchise player. You cannot bench your franchise player that late in a playoff game in a game one on the road.
But the bench was awesome for him.
It was. 40, but then find a way
46 to 3, the bench scoring disparity.
Well, then take out Nembhard or Nesmith in that spot.
What I probably would have done.
You cannot not play Tyrese Haliburton. I mean, if you do that in that spot, it's season changing. A-Rod batting eighth for the Yankees in the lineup with Joe Torre against the Angels, right?
It sends the message that you don't believe in the best player.
That's
on the
right.
Team. Yeah,
that's right. You cannot do that regardless of slump, regardless of play in that spot. All right, time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
That was not a great look. It's an interesting lead-in. So last night was the Met Gala, the big fashion event in New York City, and an NBA player was there by the name of Ben Simmons.
Is he an NBA player?
He's paid by the NBA for the Brooklyn Nets, and he was there. He was wearing a nice suit with a little plaid and Smalls, you know this better than I do, so please, if you could. How would you describe this? Look, you are cool. I am not.
Yes, he's got a suit on with a jacket, a tuxedo, because he's got the bow tie, with a jacket on over it with a beautiful plaid print off the shoulders here. And he was leaning into the garden theme. As you see the coat go down, you see the flower and then the vine go down. And he's carrying a briefcase with a big clock on it. Also a nod to time being suspended, which I think was part of like the garden theme. There was a lot about time last night as well.
What do you guys think is the over-under is on Met Galas attended versus NBA games played?
I was going to ask that same question because he only played in 15 games this past year. Over the past 3 years, Ben Simmons has played in a grand total of 57 NBA games.
Wait. So
Ben Simmons.
57 games.
Okay, he was drafted, I think, number one overall in 2016? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So basically he has been to, let's assume since he's been drafted, just for argument's sake, he was at the 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Let's say assume 8 or 9 Met Galas. So basically, he's been to half as many Met Galas as games played last year.
There's no way he's been to the Met Gala that many times.
I'm just saying, max amount of times, right? When he was in the public eye.
Okay.
How does he get invited this year, by the way? Isn't that like an impossible invite to get?
It is one of the toughest invites to score.
So how did he get that?
I don't
is
know.
Is he famous and cool?
The same way
to
I'm
that?
Trying to figure out how he's made $106 million over the last 3 years with playing in 57 games.
That's actually. That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's more understandable.
Think about it.
I actually understand that more.
He's playing in 57 games and made $106 million.
Dude, he's making $40 million this season. $40 million.
Imagine playing in 57 games, making over $100 million, and you're going to the Met Gala.
I'm doing life wrong, Smalls. I'm doing life wrong.
You and me both.
I'm doing it wrong.
What would
Ben Simmons has got to figure out. Ben Simmons, I apologize for anything that I might have said that you thought was disparaging. Clearly, you have something figured out about life that I have yet to discover. I'm sorry, Ben Simmons. I'm sorry.
All right, take a moment.
What's up?
Hear this question I'm going to ask. Think about it and tell me the answer. What would be funnier, Ben Simmons asking out or Ben Simmons asking for an extension?
Asking for an extension.
He goes to the Nets. He's like, I'd like a few years added to my deal. Look what I've done for you guys. I represented you at the Met Gala last night.
Maybe that's how he got an invite, though, because they were looking at his fits when he sat on the bench, and they were like, this guy's got style.
He knows it.
We have a big body of work to look at.
How furious would you be if you're owner Josiah and you're at the Met Gala and you see Ben Simmons sitting there all decked out? And his, what was the outfit? Gucci? What was he wearing?
Let's see. I forget who
well,
he
whatever
wore.
Designer was. How furious
I think it was
be?
Body by DNP.
But I'm just, I see what Evan. You did there. But he's got a briefcase with a clock on it. It looks ridiculous.
So what would be funnier, him asking out or asking for an extension?
Him sitting at the table at the Met Gala with Joe Sy.
Well, we've
like
established that.
Oh. Yeah, that
he was wearing Tom Brown, custom Tom Brown.
Him wow. putting out another video of him shooting three-pointers in the offseason.
Well, he's had plenty of time, Pat, over the last couple of years. To think about the outfit clock? That he's wearing. Yeah, he's had plenty of time to think
Tom
about the outfit
Brown?
That he's wearing
yeah,
to the
Tom
Met Gala.
Brown. Oh, I don't know.
That's Ben Simmons'
oh,
NBA Finals right there,
Tom
the Met
Brown.
Gala. Yeah. Yeah, Ben Simmons, a huge fashionista. That's his Super Bowl.
I know Tom Ford.
No, Tom Brown, amazing menswear
yeah,
designer.
Tom Brown.
If you Does know, he make
if
hoodies?
You know, if you know, you know.
I don't know.
Maybe he could come out with the Evan Cohen edition.
The Owen by Cohen.
The Owen by Cohen designer hoodie.
By Tom
from
Brown?
Tom Brown.
Tom Brown. And it's a T-H-O-M.
Of course it is. You didn't know that? Obviously.
No, I know it. I'm telling you.
And the most unsportsmanlike moments of the day obviously came from Jamal Murray, who threw a heating pad onto the court last night and a towel at a referee. Right? And he may, you know what? I'm starting to think he may get suspended.
He's not going to get suspended. Big
he may.
Fine. Maybe a six-figure fine. No suspension.
Greeny coming up next. We are on to Wednesday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's lectricebikes.com.